Thank you for that beautiful old hymn, Love Lifted Me. Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and we appreciate the presence of everyone. Desire and interest in your prayers. Feel the need of the help of God. I'm going to read just about maybe four verses. Very familiar lesson. First of all, in the 126th division of the Psalms, beginning at verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then I want to read verse 6 from the 85th division of the Psalms. And this is a prayer, and the verse reads like this. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now that's all I'm going to read right at this present time. But I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for this morning, We Need a Spiritual Revival. A spiritual revival. Now, when I say spiritual revival, I'm not talking about we need to have a few nights meeting and have some preaching. We need a spiritual awakening. You might say, well, why do we need to be awakened? Well, I hope today that I can challenge you. And I hope that I can answer that question for you, if you don't already know the answer. All we have to do is look around us. Our country no longer looks to God as the source from whom all blessings flow. There are some people who do, but I would say the majority of the people who live in our country are not looking to God for the blessings that they need. We have abandoned moral principles. The Bible is very plain, and it tells us in many different places that God is our refuge, and he is our help in time of trouble. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. So we know that God is the source of our blessings, not only our physical, natural blessings, but he's the source of our spiritual blessings as well. We know that the word of God is blasphemed all over this country anymore. And people, you know, don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But as Brother Mike said in his Sunday school lesson this morning, I believe that the Word of God was divinely inspired. I believe that it is indeed the Word of God. I believe it says what it means and means what it says. And if we don't understand it, and we don't believe it, then we are hurting ourselves a great deal in that. Churches and preachers anymore have very little, if any, spiritual influence in the world today. And that's, you know, that's a bad statement. That's sad to have to make that statement. But people don't pay much attention to us anymore, you know. And so we need a spiritual revival. We need to be awakened. And we need to be brought to the place where we understand that that God is our help. And He is our refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. We need a revival today. We need it from the pulpit all the way to the pew. I need revival. I need to be spiritually revived. I need to be awakened. I need to be even more aware of the needs that surround us, the needs of each individual in our church, the needs of the people in our community, the needs of the need for the preaching of the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And I believe that's what we need. But we need to be awakened of in the pew as well. You know, not just in the pulpit, but we need, our people need to be awakened to the reality that God made man. God made man in His own likeness and after His image. And God is the one who has determined what's right and what's wrong. God is the one who has determined what is good and what is evil. And it seems that every man has turned to his own way just about, you know. As the prophet Isaiah spoke, we've all turned to our own ways. And we need to return to God. And so God said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." No other God before Jehovah God. And the Lord Jesus Christ and Jehovah God are one. Jesus Himself said, "I and my Father are one." They are perfectly united in everything that they do. And so we need to be aware of that. We know, according to the Bible, the prophet prophesied in the 5th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I want to turn over there just for a few moments. And he prophesied concerning the children of Israel. And he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." He said, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justifieth the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." There are so many other scriptures in this chapter that I could read. But I said a while ago, God is the one who has determined what's right and what's wrong, and what's good and what's evil. And we're at a place in our world where it seems like, every man has turned to his own way. He believes whatever he wants. He does whatever he wants. And, he has no respect for God. He has no respect for the Word of God. No respect for the church that Jesus established. No respect for the preachers who preach the Word of God. And so we need a revival that will change all of that. We do need a revival. The Bible says this, and it's very familiar. Second Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." And I believe that's the answer to a revival. I believe we have to turn from our own ways. We have to turn to God, acknowledge that we have drifted away from God. And we need to come back to God. And we need to serve Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we have become complacent. You know, perhaps this pandemic for the last year has added to that. But we've become complacent. And that word complacent means that we've become smug and self-satisfied. And the Bible teaches us that we should, you know, seek the will of God. And we should do the things that God has commanded us to do. We've become satisfied with mediocre preaching, like the preaching I do. And with little or no spirit or power in our services. Now, we've become complacent. We're ready and willing to accept that. And we need to be stirred and we need to be awakened. It doesn't have to be that way. God wants to bless. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us. We've got used to no demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. We've got used to no confirmation of the Word of God. We've got used to no testimonies. We've got used to no joy. We've got used to no conviction. Sinners sit among us, and if they are convicted at all, they don't show it, you know, and they don't move. And if there's no conviction, there's no conversions. We've got used to having services, you know, that do not bless us like they used to. And I think we've lost sight of what worshiping God in spirit and in truth really is. The Bible says in the language of Jesus, the 4th chapter of John, the 24th verse, Jesus said to that woman of Samaria, "He that worshipeth God must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now that means by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and based upon the truth of God's Word. And that's the way we have to worship God. And I think we've lost sight of the purpose and the objective of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that, you know, we don't have to come here to church. There are many places you could go, wouldn't have to come here to church. But I do believe today that this is a good church. I believe it is a spiritual church. I believe that it was founded upon the principles of God's Word. I believe we have stood for those principles down through the years. But also, I believe that we are experiencing a period where we're cold and indifferent. And we're just, you know, contented to just come. And I've done what I should do. I come to the service I'm ready to go home, you know. Just let's have the benediction and let's go home. Now, you may not like that me saying that, and I don't mean to be hurtful. God knows I'm telling you the truth. And I think you know that what I have said is the truth, don't you? You know that we are not spiritual like we have been in the past. We don't have to stay like that. We can come back to God, and we can experience spiritual awakening that will enable us to work and labor in the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible teaches us in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I want to read a few verses here, beginning at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that thou walk circumspectly, as not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If there was ever a time in the history of the world when we need to be taking advantage of the opportunities that we have, it's now. Because time is running out. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I know for sure that he is. I believe that as much as I believe I'm living and breathing, that Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, time shall be no more. And when time is no more, no one else will be saved. The end is coming, and it's important. And it's imperative if you want to go to heaven when you die, that you get saved, that you get right with God. And God has made it possible. And he has made the way available whereby you can be saved and know the Lord in the forgiveness of sin. So he says, now, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I really believe if you've ever been saved, you've been filled with the Spirit. But, you know, some of us perhaps could say it's been a long time since we've been filled with the Spirit. And that's important that we do that. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He said, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. So we need to be awakened. We need to be serving the Lord. We need to be about our Father's business. That's what Jesus said when his mother asked him, why? Why did you stay behind when we were on our way home? And Jesus said, well, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? And we have a work to do. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a purpose in being here in the world. We have an objective. Jesus, he stated very plainly what our purpose is. It's stated in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means go make disciples in every nation of the earth. Dr. Collins and some of the brethren and sisters are going to Belize. Brother Shoulders, Monty Shoulders, preacher friend, he felt the call of God to go to Belize and preach the gospel. And he went, and the Lord has opened doors for him. And people are being saved, and people are are being baptized. And so these brethren are going to assist him and to help in that work, do whatever they can to help him in that work. And we want to pray for them and pray that God will bless them, that he'll watch over them and protect them and keep them safe, and that they'll have the power of the Holy Spirit in their services down there, and that people will get under conviction and will get saved. Now, I was praying last night as I was studying, and God gave this the title of this song to me. I mean, I didn't write the song, but it came to me just as plain and as forceful as anything that I've ever felt. And I want to share some of the words of that song with you. The song is "Let's Have a Revival." Now, we all know that revival comes from God. But we also know that when we get right, the revival will come. And so the song said, "Let's have a revival from the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival that starts with me and you, that reaches out to a lost and hungry world and brings them in. We need to get, we need the presence of the Lord within the walls of our building. But I tell you, there's hundreds and hundreds of people right here in our own city that we need to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And you and I can't do it ourselves. We need the help of God. And we need the help of each other. We need to work while it is day. The Bible said the night is coming when no man can work. It's going to be too late one of these days. You know, death is on the trail of every one of us. I don't expect to escape death. I expect that I will die before Jesus comes. Now, if he should come before I experience death, then I will escape death, physical death. But, you know, we're going to die. And so we need to be ready. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Or maybe it's "in such an hour as you think not, the death angel comes for you. And he calls you and you leave this world. And if you're not prepared to go to heaven, then it's going to be the greatest tragedy that you've ever faced. Without God and without hope in the world, it's going to be a sad time." I want to go on with the words of this song. We need to have a revival that starts with you and me. We can't look to somebody else to start it for us. If we have a revival, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God. We're going to have to seek his face. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to be stirred from the inside. And we're going to have to work. And we're going to have to hold forth the glorious gospel of the Son of God. And so let's have a revival that starts with you and me, that reaches out to those hungry souls that are lost and bring them in. And as the song says, this is our joy. What makes you happier or makes you more joyful than seeing somebody make peace with God? You see somebody humble themselves before God and pray and seek the Lord, and the Lord forgives their sin and takes away that burden and gives them peace, and they rise from the altar with the joy of the Lord in their face. And folks, that gives us joy. That is our joy. Not only that, but the songwriter said, it is our survival. If people don't keep getting saved, All of our church members are going to die. And if there's not people that's been saved to take their place, the church in this particular location will cease to exist. Now, I said it like that on purpose, because the church that Jesus started, my friend, is going to persevere. It is going to continue until the day that Jesus descends from heaven to get it. But there have been lots of churches that have gone out of existence. There are churches today, my friend, that may not survive this pandemic. Now, you may think I'm off of my rocker, but we've got small churches. They're without pastors. The people are discouraged. They haven't been able to have services, and they're at the point of almost closing the doors. So people getting saved is our survival. We need people to be saved to keep the church going. And so it is our survival. And let me find my place. And they said, let's pray for a Holy Ghost revival. Now you say, but don't start talking about the Holy Ghost. That's Pentecostal. Let me tell you something. That is Pentecostal. On the day of Pentecost, you know what happened? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were all gathered together in an upper room in Jerusalem. They were praying. They were praying for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. And while they were praying, suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The room was filled with the Spirit of God, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were immersed in that spiritual power that God sent down from heaven. But not only were they immersed in it from the outside, they were filled with it on the inside. And folks, that's a Holy Ghost revival. And that's what we need in our church, is a Holy Ghost revival where the Spirit of God comes in, and where God's people are able to witness and to testify and to share the blessings of God with those who are present. And so the songwriter adds another verse to that song. And this is what he said. I asked an old-time preacher how revival came back then. You know, we talk about revival. We talk about how it used to be. Well, he said, I asked an old-time preacher how revival came back then. He said, we always started on our knees in prayer. Then opened up those two books, the songbook and the Bible. And they said, if you sing and preach God's word, you'll have a revival. And I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe that it's God's fault, my friend, that people are not being saved. I don't believe that it's His will that we not have Spirit-filled services. I don't believe it's God's will that we go for long periods of time with lost people sitting in our midst, untouched and unmoved about what's going on. I will own my part in the failure. A lot of people say they get caught in something and they say, I will own it. I'll own it. It's wrong and I'll own it. but they don't change. You know, that's an escape hatch for them, you know. And just as long as you own it, you know, you don't have to change, just own it. Well, I hope that God will help me. I hope that I can be more spiritual. I hope that I can be what God wants me to be. I wouldn't ask you to try to do better if I wasn't planning on trying to do better myself. I don't think it'd be right for me to ask of you something that I'm not willing to do myself. But I'm telling you, we need revival. It needs to start with the preaching of the Word of God. And it needs to, it needs to awaken the hearts and the desires of God's people. It needs to cause us. I want to say something else too. You know what? We don't have our mind on revivals much. We don't have our mind on worshiping God, and we don't talk much about God and about worshiping God. You know the things we talk about, even when we come to church, you know what we talk about? We talk about what we saw on Facebook, and we talk about, you know, the gossip that we've heard, and we talk about the sports teams and how they're doing, and we talk about fishing, and we talk about hunting, and we talk about all these worldly things. We need to get our minds off the world, and we need to get our minds on God, and we need to pray. We need to, you know, sometimes we say, I pray every night, lay down in the bed, thank you, Lord, for watching over me tonight. Wake me up in the morning, please. You know, amen. And we go off to sleep. And we wake up in the morning, we say, thank you, Lord, for watching over me, you know. Letting me wake up and see another day. Well, those things are good. But I tell you, there's more to prayer than just thank you for watching over me and taking care of me. There are needs that need to be addressed. A prayer, you know what a prayer is? A prayer is a petition that's made to God, asking for His help, you know. He'll help us. We read in the Bible where it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man. If any man among you is sick, let him pray. You know, is any afflict him? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him in the name of the Lord. And the Lord shall raise him up, it says. Listen, there's power in prayer. There is power in prayer. And I could spend a lot of time talking about what the Apostle Paul said about being asleep, and it's high time that we awake out of our sleep and out of our slumber. And so it's high time, folks. It's high time that we get really serious about having a meeting, about seeing people get saved. It's real serious about us confirming the Word of God. People, I go back down memory lane. I go back to a little place called Kirby Grove in Barron County, Kentucky. It was built. A man had it built for his son. His son had been called to preach. And so he built this, just a tiny little old church built it. So his son would have a place to preach. It never was organized. It never was a church, but it's just a meeting house. It's just a meeting house. And we'd go down there, and some of them old preachers would preach. And when they got on preaching, there were some exhorters from around in the community. And they'd get up and they'd begin to confirm the word that had been preached. And they'd begin to testify. And the first thing you know, it was just like a wildfire. The Spirit of the Lord would just spread all over that little old building. And people would be testifying and they'd be rejoicing. They was full of joy full of the joy of the Lord. And there was power there. There was lots of people that got saved in that little old building, you know. Well, I've seen the same thing in many of our churches. I've seen that right here in this church. I tell you, I long to see that again. I hope God will stir us out of our complacency, that He will awaken us, that we'll see the great responsibility that rests on us, you know, and that we'll be willing to do our part. Take up the cross, Jesus said. You know, He made this statement. He said, He that taketh not up his cross is not worthy of me. Well, none of us are worthy of the Lord. You know, we didn't deserve what He done for us. His death on the cross, oh, we didn't deserve that. But He did it for us. And He said, if you're going to be my follower, you're going to follow after me, you're going to walk in my footsteps, you're going to have to take up the cross and follow me. And so I pray God will help us. I love you all. I'm not fussing at you. God knows I'm telling you the truth. But also God knows I'm telling you the truth when I say we're complacent and we need to be stirred and we need to be awakened and we need to be about our Father's business, because souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. I want to read this song again. I probably should have already closed. But I want you to listen. Let's have a revival from the pulpit to the pew. Let's have a revival that starts with me and you, that reaches out to a lost and hungry world and brings them in. I've been in revivals in churches where there wasn't any lost among the churches, and people started bringing people in. They started bringing them in, and they'd get under conviction, get saved. I talked with Brother Patton, and you know, they had lots of people saved over at Pleasant Union through the years. But he said, preacher, they wasn't our people. He said they were being brought in from all around, different communities. They were being brought in, and they heard the gospel and got under conviction and got saved. So they needed to be brought in. And then he goes on and he said, that's our joy. That's our survival. Let's pray for Holy Ghost power. Let's have a revival. I believe that's what we need. May God bless you. I'm closing. I've done what I felt like God wanted me to do today. And I pray God will bless it. I pray He'll bless the word. I pray that God will stir me up, and I pray that God will stir you up. You know, we have within us something that's wonderful, and other people need to hear about it. Jesus said, you're my witnesses. A witness is somebody that tells what he knows. You know, we need to be witnesses for the Lord. Anybody have anything you want to say? God help. Amen. Yes.
We get our hearts right, we don't want to be here.
Amen.
Thank you for the truth today.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Wheat.